nervously away.
One.
The box containing the Navicomp was in Ula's possession. All he had to do was surrender it to the Sith, and Lorin would be saved. And he would safely deliver the information to the Empire. It was a simple solution to all his problems.
Two.
But Ula couldn't move. The Sith and the Empire weren't the same thing. No, to trillions they were inseparable. The Emperor himself was the Sith to whom all others deferred. But to him they were very different. On the one hand, the Empire offered a society of rules and clearly defined justice that could, if allowed to do so, bring peace and prosperity to every planet in the galaxy. On the other, oppression and constant conflict. Could he in good conscience give any advantage to the followers of the latter? Would Lorin want him to?
Three.
If only he could deliver the Navicomp to the Minister of Logistics. With it in her hand, she could surely find a way to turn it to their advantage. The Empire was so huge, it wouldn't miss this world's resources, for all the squabbling over them now. All Ula wanted was the chance to prove the rightness of his principles. He didn't mind the existence of the Sith, but they shouldn't be allowed to run roughshod over everyone else.
Four.
Yet there was no point dreaming. The Minister of Logistics might have been in another universe entirely. He could no more give her this vital piece in the puzzle than he could stand up to the Sith himself and survive. He was just a pawn in a game much larger than he could imagine. He was insignificant and disposable. How foolish to think that he could ever have changed the way this would turn out. The Navicomp had been earmarked for the Sith the very moment she arrived.
Five!
The Sith moved in to start slashing.
Wait!
He called out. All eyes turned to him. The Sith glared at him with hateful eyes. Jet looked as shocked, as though Ula had sprouted wings and flown up to the ceiling. Lorin's expression was hidden by her helmet, and that was the one he most wanted to see.
Here,
he told the Sith, holding up the Navicomp.
Take it! Just leave her alone!
The girl's expression became hungry, triumphant. Ula didn't want to get any closer to that blade than he had to. He hefted the box and tossed it to her. At the height of its arc, a gleaming web reached in and snatched the box clean out of the air.
What?
Ula spun around. The Mandalorian caught the box neatly in one hand and tossed something back to Ula in return. He caught it automatically. It was a heavy metal sphere with a blinking red light.
No!
Screamed the Sith, robbed of her prize. Stryver was already moving, rising up on his jetpack and heading for the exit.
Chuck it! Yelled Jet to Ula. That's a thermal detonator!
Ula hurled the sphere away from him as hard as he could. It went up and kept going up as Shigar the Jedi used the Force to sweep it away. The tactic wasn't entirely defensive. The detonator exploded high in the creaking scaffolding that had once been the security airlock's roof, directly above Stryver's escape route. The statue of T'Saw Barish toppled and fell. Yet another avalanche came crashing down after it, burying the Mandalorian and a herd of palace guards that had come to quell the disturbance. The floor gave way and kept giving way as Stryver fired downward, gliding the tide of collapse into the palace's deeper levels. Snarling, the Sith girl went after him, determined not to lose her prize. She vanished into the Royal of Stone and Ferrocrete and didn't reappear. Ula took one step toward Lorin, but Shigar beat him to it.
Are you all right?
The Jedi asked her,